The word today is stewardship. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. God has a lot to say about giving. He is the giver of every good gift, and He owns all things. His word is filled with thoughts and ideas on how we are to use what He gives us. Here to review some of these guidelines for us is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Stewardship.
One of the most difficult subjects that the Christian church has to discuss with its people is the subject of stewardship. And by stewardship, we are talking about the use of the various gifts that God gives to His people. Now, once in a while, people will say, well, it's okay if we talk about our stewardship of time, how we use our time, how we portion out the things that we do to help others, or our talents, whether we're artistic, whether we sing, whether we are playing in a praise band, or maybe ringing bells in a bell choir, or singing in a voice choir. All of these things require talent and time, and so people are usually quite interested in talking about that. But the minute you get down to the subject of money, and you start discussing money and how you should give in terms of giving money to the kingdom of God, that's when you get into all different kinds of opinions. And I suppose we would add to that that they're all different types of cultures. And I want to keep in mind, as we're talking about the principles of stewardship here, that we're talking about God's way of doing things. God's word tells us what He wants to know about giving. And so that's what we had to stick with. And we better not get wrapped up in a particular culture, like the American culture or the American way of life. After all, these broadcasts of The Word Today are going to 42 different language groups. Just think of that. All over the world. India, China, Japan, Africa. Just think of all the different types of governments. Just think of all the different types of taxations. Just think of all the different standards of living. Now, as an example, let's just illustrate that. I would imagine in my own mind, I'm not certain of this, but I believe most parents around the world probably have a little system whereby they'll get their children to learn how to handle possessions. Now, obviously, in America here, a child may have many different type of possessions. We could call them toys and different things like that. They have no doubt allowances where the parent will say, I'm going to give you so many dollars a week for your allowances. Part of that has to be used for clothing. Part of that has to be saved so that someday you can go to college. Part of that has to be used for the things that you need, like toothbrushes and toothpaste and so on. And there might be things that you need in terms of the future with books and education, or, you know, we just have different cultures. Now, I would imagine in some parts of the world that would be quite a bit simplified in terms of saying, well, you don't need all this money in order to do this. Here's certain things that you're doing. Let's say you're babysitting, or let's say you're helping in some way with the family business, or in some way you're providing some income by going to work in a garden. Maybe you're pulling radishes or digging up potatoes or whatever it is, but something in your life, somebody, your parents or relatives, or maybe the church is supplying some of your needs. And so we need to apply the biblical principles here. Now, when God talks about money, a good way to understand this would be to go to the last book of the Old Testament. That's called Malachi, the prophet Malachi. Now, in the last book of the Old Testament, there's a particular chapter that deals with this. It's chapter 3. And once you have the chapter, I hope you'll look up the verses. As a matter of fact, to keep it in its context, it would probably make a whole lot of sense if you would just read the entire third chapter, first of all, just to get the background and to get the idea. Then as you get further into the chapter, you'll see that God gets more specific. When he gets to the 8th, 9th, and 10th verse, 11th verse, he gets more specific about the giving. But in general, what's happening is God is not pleased with the Israelites. And so he sends a prophet to warn them and say, just like he always did, by the way, all the way through the Old Testament, whenever the people of Israel would get off track, God would send a prophet and remind them, you need to repent, you need to change. God is not pleased with what's going on, and he would send a prophet, and that prophet would relate God's will and God's word, and then the hope would be that the people would repent and say, oh, please God, have mercy on us, hear our prayer, we need your forgiveness, we are going to change, we are going to be more obedient, we're going to be more loving to you. That's the way things were supposed to work. Now, in this particular case, things were not going well because God was displeased with the people of the Israelites that called themselves the people of God, and God was not pleased with what was going on. And so in the conversation, the question is raised, would anyone dare to rob from God? Would anyone be dumb enough to say, I'm going to take part of what really belongs to God and keep it for myself? I'm going to treat myself instead of giving it to God. Would anyone be that stupid and that dumb? That's the question that's being raised as you read through the third chapter there. And of course, the people are shocked. Oh, my goodness, no one in their right mind would rob from God. And so God takes it the next step through his prophet. He says, but that's exactly what you're doing. Instead of bringing the requirements that the Old Testament requires of you, your tithes and your offerings, the things that God has made clear he wants you to do, instead of doing that, you're keeping it for yourself. And the effect of that, God says, is that you're robbing from me. You're keeping what is mine for yourself instead of giving it to me. Now, that's a pretty serious charge, and the people immediately take that to heart and say, oh, my goodness, how can this be? And so God makes it abundantly clear. In fact, this is one of the areas of the Holy Scriptures where God challenges us, and he says to us, what you should be doing is bringing your total offering to me. You should be bringing your tithes and your offerings and using it for kingdom work to reach the world with the news of salvation. This is what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing it. And so I'm challenging you, bring your total offerings to me. Bring all the tithes to me. Now, we know scripturally that there were a number of different tithes. It's an interesting subject to go all the way through the Bible studying how God wants his people to return his gifts for his kingdom, how he wants that to be used. And there were a number of different tithes. And in addition to the tithes, which was a 10% portion of whatever God gave them, there were, in addition to that, grain offerings. There were also some other types of offerings and gifts in addition to special offerings. And so what that amounted to percentage-wise, we don't exactly know. It doesn't tell us in the Bible, but it was certainly more than 10%. Might have been 12%, might have been 15%. Nobody has ever come up with a conclusion as to how much it was proportionately out of the 100% that God gave to a person. In the economies like here in America, for instance, where we don't do bartering very much and we don't give grain offerings, we don't give a first count of our fruit, for instance, we don't do that. We translate everything into economics and dollars, What would that amount to? It would certainly be more than 10%. But even the 10% is very difficult for a lot of people to give because they're not used to it, they've never tried it, and they've never taken God at the challenge that he has given them. They have never said, well, God, we will trust you. You are going to take care of us. We don't need our savings account. We don't need our future investments. We don't need to take care of ourselves. You will take care of us, and you will provide for us. Now, that's the basic point. God wants all of us to understand that he is in charge. And when he gives us whatever it is he chooses to give us, an education, a learning, an opportunity to work, health, for instance, that he gives us so that we can be able to go to work. When he gives us ground, maybe if we're in different cultures, maybe we have a little garden, maybe we have some little area that we can call our own or something that we are working on with other families or other groups in a corporate effort. That's what Acts, the fourth chapter, talks about, that the early Christian church worked together and they had a community and they wanted to make sure no one was in need, no one was in poverty. And so when they would sell a piece of property, they'd bring the proceeds and the effect would be that they'd distribute the money so that everyone had something and everyone had some opportunity to live free of any damaging effect to their health or their life. So regardless what culture, I ask you to take seriously what God says. Bring your offerings to me totally and completely, and I will shower you. I will open the windows of heaven and give you so many blessings you won't even know how to count them. They'll be overwhelming. I hope you will trust God in this matter. Look to him for your future and for your deliverance from any problem or need, and let God bless you. He will pour down blessings upon you to overwhelm you with his goodness. God loves you. God loves you. He gave you a Savior and his Son, and he wants to give you a living ability to take care of yourself.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.